Welcome to Notes from the North with Kyle and Sam.
Well, welcome back to Notes from the North. Kyle and Sam here, and we've had, I guess, a couple of weeks break off. But we're back, and April is draft month. So preparing for the draft, we are we're recording actually on Friday here, April 5th, and so we are at this point and at the point that anyone's listening, technically less than 3 weeks away from the start of the NFL draft. So we'll touch on some of the draft pieces and how it relates to Minnesota in a little bit, but it does feel like since we last recorded, one of the bigger news, if you think about it from a Vikings perspective, is actually something that a little bit is not directly Minnesota related, but tangentially related to the Vikings, and that Stephon Diggs has been traded from Buffalo to Houston. I know you've had a couple of different thoughts, just obviously Diggs, former Vikings player, but I know there's a couple of different pieces that you would touch on, even just the fact that it's Houston as part of this deal as well.
Yeah, I mean, like the Houston and Minnesota connection is wild. And, you know, I guess I sent it out on Twitter, this kind of snarky comment of like, you know, at this point, the Vikings and Texans should just meet in the Super Bowl. And they can just decide who's better. Because you just, like, there's just so many connections from like the Vikings signing Bernard and Cashman and Griffin. That's literally a defender for every level of the defense. And then they pull off that trade, of course, to get number 23 from Houston. And then now Diggs is going to Houston in that Buffalo trade. And what did Houston have to send over? Well, they used the Minnesota second round pick that they acquired in that trade with 23. And then, of course, you know, Daniel Hunter is now a Texan. Case Keenum is the backup quarterback. And then they're kind of like some like kind of, you know, maybe lesser known connections in the sense of like David Quaisenberry, the backup swing tackle for the Vikings. He got to start with Houston, right? So just like there are various kind of connections between the two franchises. Chris Boyd, former corner for the Vikings and a special teams stud, a menace on special teams, plays for the Texans, right? And so there are various kind of connections between the two teams. And of course, they're going to play each other in the upcoming season. And so it's just kind of fun to see. The only other angle, and this isn't really like a connection in a sense, but then the one angle that I thought was interesting was that, you know, they just drafted Houston. I mean, Houston just drafted CJ Stroud. And that's a decision that ended up looking pretty good after a year. I mean, he won Offensive Rookie of the Year and had an excellent year for the Texans. But then the approach you're seeing from Houston this offseason, being aggressive with adding someone like Daniel Hunter, being aggressive with adding someone like Stephon Diggs, is made possible by the rookie contract player, right? And this is something we've talked about kind of at various points. A lot of people talk about this, is like, how do you build a contender? And Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, like the Vikings GM, has talked about basically two broad paths, like two broad approaches. You can either have that franchise QB like Patrick Mahomes, and you can, you know, follow that dude, and he's incredible, and he masks flaws while elevating players, rises to the occasion. That's one way of doing it, and that's a great way of doing it if you can get that player. If you can't get that player, then you can have the rookie contract quarterback build that loaded roster, give that guy all the support he could possibly hope for and need, right? We saw that with San Francisco last year. The year prior is Jalen Hurts in Philly, you know, leveraging, you know, in reality, like Jalen Hurts is a great quarterback. Brock Purdy has developed into a great quarterback. Like, they're still very, very good players. You still have to have good quarterback play, but building that loaded roster around that player is made possible by this kind of artificially cheap contract for a quarterback, right? And that's kind of what you're getting with Stroud in Houston. And in some ways, I think that's a lot of what Minnesota's maybe hoping to achieve with the draft, which maybe is our pivot point here, Sam, but that's kind of this possibility is there. Maybe you go and grab your dude, which is to say Minnesota goes and grabs her quarterback, and maybe they can replicate some of these things with that kind of artificially cheap contract for a QB1, right? Which is really only possible from a draft pick who hits, of course, but a draft pick.
Right. Well, and that's the thing. Like, it does feel like, again, there is, you talk about it being a copycat league, and it does in some ways, Houston is almost a bit of that year ahead of the Vikings, just in terms of what this plan could look like, right? You've got drafting that rookie QB, which feels like, and again, we'll touch on that now about what the Vikings may be stepping into. And then you look at even what the Vikings have been doing this offseason and how much cap space there is there to think about next year and what they could possibly be doing and where they're going. But let's talk about the draft here, because again, the Vikings have these two first round picks, and it feels almost inevitable at this point that they aren't going to be picking with those picks. Again, not to say that's not possible, but like from your vantage point, like I don't know, putting a percentage on it, it feels like, and again, there's so much in terms of smoke screens and rumors, and there's so much feel like they're being played here, but it feels highly likely, over 50%, I could say. And I wonder what the number you would put on it, of the Vikings doing something likely with that 11 pick, probably the 23 pick. We've heard 2025 first round pick being a part of this as well. Like percentage wise, what's your sense in terms of how likely it is the Vikings are going to be moving up in the draft here to likely choose what they're hoping is the quarterback of the future?
Yeah, I mean, if they're moving up, you know, if they're packaging a pair of firsts and they're moving up high, it's for a quarterback, right? So it's not a matter of what type of player would they go get, or what position rather would they go get. Well, it'd be for a quarterback. They're not doing this to go get a receiver or an edge rusher, right? So if they're going up, it's for a quarterback. To my mind, I kind of see it as like 75-25, 75 in favor of them, you know, going up, with 3, 5, and 7. That's kind of like the main spots to keep in mind. 3 being the Patriots, 5 being the Chargers, and 7 being the Titans. And so I'm kind of looking at 3, 5, and 7 as kind of spots for the Vikings. I mean, anything's possible. You know, Arizona, their GM has come out and literally said, "I'm open for business." I think his metaphor is, we get a big flashing neon sign. Or he said it's a big neon sign, it's not even flashing. Don't like it flashing. It's like, we're open for business, right? So I think the various teams in the top 10 have basically put it out there, even like publicly in the media, come and give me your best offer. And that's fine. Like, Arizona doesn't have to say trade out of number 4, right? And I think it's good business, it's a good strategy too, to say, listen, I'm open. And so if someone comes up and just gives you that Godfather offer where you just can't refuse it, great, you trade out of number 4. If, on the other hand, you don't get that crazy offer, you stick it for it, and you'd probably pick Marvin Harrison Jr., right? And you get a legit WR1 to partner with your quarterback, right? So point being, there are various trade possibilities. I think it's probably 75-25 for trading up. Sooner rather than later, I know Dustin Baker's talked about this on VT. Sooner rather than later, you got to think that the new GM and the new head coach, who aren't that new anymore, but they're relatively new, they're going to want to have that round one passer at some point, right? They're going to want to choose that quarterback at some point and kind of build their team around that guy and try to basically attach their careers to this player, right? And so whether that happens in 2024, probably, but maybe not. You know, it's very possible. And Kevin O'Connell has made this point talking to the media, right? He's made this point recently where he said, like, with the way that things are looking right now, where there's so much high-end offensive talent likely to be taken high, the quarterbacks and the receivers especially, and some of the offensive tackles are excellent as well. He's, you know, O'Connell's point is that you might have the absolute best defender in the draft available at 8, 9, 10, maybe even 11, right? And so with that being the case, do the Vikings feel like, you know what, we're going to stick at 11? And like some absolute monster of an edge rusher or corner or whoever is there at 11, who in reality should be a top 5 guy, but just with the way that kind of offense is being valued right now, you know, this player is available at 11. He shouldn't be. He's way better than the number 11 pick, and we're going to get like a stud edge one or a stud CB1, which is itself represents insane value, right? And that's a key component of building a winning football team. And then maybe at 23, you explore Bo Nix or Michael Penix or whatever's available to you, right? Or maybe, I don't know, maybe you can trade it from 23 into the teens if you think that one of those guys isn't going to fall into the 20s, or all kinds of options. The key word, this is literally something that's been said, literally, if I'm not mistaken, Sam, from ownership, Mark Wilf, He's not the sole owner, but he's one of the owners. To Kwesi Dofomensa, the general manager. Kevin O'Connell, the head coach. All three levels here. This is kind of like decision-making hierarchy and power hierarchy. They've all said flexibility. That's their key word. And so even though I think we can kind of all connect the dots and see what's likely, especially with kind of the way that quarterback position looks right now, all the decision makers are saying flexibility. And I think they're genuine. They tend to be fairly genuine, you know, Adofamensa and O'Connell, especially when they're talking to the media. When they say this is about flexibility and this is about giving ourselves options, I think they really believe it. They actually believe that. Now, with that, the final thing would just simply be that Adofamensa has said he has a preferred scenario, quote unquote preferred scenario. You can maybe assume that's quarterback, but Adofamensa is wise enough to know, and maybe on social media we're not wise enough to know, but he's wise enough to know that the draft in the NFL more broadly is unpredictable. And so he responds by trying to give his team flexibility, be able to pivot kind of at a moment's notice. That's kind of how he likes to approach things, is my understanding. And so all that to say, they're likely trading up, but don't get fooled into thinking that it's a foregone conclusion.
Right. And I guess one of the things that I feel, and I think this is the tension, and this is almost, like as you're talking, I think there are possibilities, and almost, I find there's almost a little bit more comfortability with the idea of staying at 11 and 23. And you said, like, maybe you actually get two ideal positions, but the goal can't be comfortability in a sense. Mm-hmm. But I think what, like you talk about flexibility, I think one of the things is that mm-hmm. you don't want to be put in a spot where you've lost the power. Like, I think, especially as you think about trading up, there is this idea of a one of these teams at the top of Patriots, Arizona. It's like, we know that we have this prized mm-hmm. asset and waiting for a team to, in a sense, overpay. And if you hit on the guy, then great. If you don't, then you start thinking, and even you think about, like, if a 2025 first round pick has to be included to move up, then you're like, frig, like this could put us in a bad spot. And so I do think that there is a helpfulness, and I guess it does feel like you don't know how this thing's going to play out. And it mm-hmm. does feel like maybe they are able to get a good quarterback at 11, or like you said, choose a defensive player at 11 and choose a quarterback later who actually is a really legit option. Again, you don't know, but I think that I feel some apprehension about this idea, this push to trade up. And I think it's kind of what you're talking about. There's the flexibility, but also just this losing the power in negotiation and being a spot where you're put in a bad spot. And you hope that whatever happens, again, the hard thing is that you're not going to be able to evaluate it for a little bit of time, but perceptions do matter. And I think more often than not, the things that we think leading into drafts and that in terms of value of picks do become true. There is an understanding that, like, that initial perception is important. So I don't know. It feels like there's a little bit of anxiety there around what they do and making sure. I think just the caution of not overpaying per se or putting themselves in a spot where they put a lot into one asset that may or may not work out. Again, that's the lack of risk taker in me.
Okay, so negotiation and losing leverage. What's the most powerful word that you have when you're negotiating? No. The ability, if you lose your ability to say no, we so desperately need a quarterback, we'll pay you some insane price to go from 11 to say number 3. Man, that's risky business. That's risky business, right? And so, I mean, kind of the preeminent example from recent NFL history is Trey Lance, right? San Francisco, a team where Kwesi Dofomensa got his start. They were at 12th. They traded 12 alongside two more firsts, so 3 firsts overall, and then third round pick to go to 3rd overall to pick Trey Lance and bring him into San Francisco. That is a situation that player has every advantage. Every advantage. You get great receivers. You got Trent Williams on the blind side. You've got Kyle Shanahan scheming dudes open. You got George Kittle as your tight end. You've got an amazing fullback, versatile fullback. You get a loaded defense giving you good field position, right? Like there's just every advantage. And it didn't work out, right? And like sometimes that happens, right? And it's like, if you feel like you're going into negotiation and you don't have the capacity to say no, that's a tough spot to be in. And genuinely, I don't feel like Kwesi Adofo-Mensah has given up that power. I think he could go to the Patriots and say, I want number three. They then list a price, which is crazy. And I think he's comfortable enough saying, okay, no, we're not going to do it. Right. And then at that point, you got to pivot. Right. And maybe it's going to the Chargers at five. Jim Harbaugh is certainly changing things up in LA. Right. Or maybe it's going to the Tennessee Titans at seven. Rand Carthon, their GM, Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, their buddies, their friends. Right. And so how much does it cost? You know, if JJ McCarthy's still there at seven, like I recognize that Atlanta Falcons at eight maybe aren't the same threat that they were to snatch a QB now that they have Cousins. But the point being, you know what I mean? Like, maybe Atlanta trades out of eight, right? Maybe Denver or LA trades up, or LA, Las Vegas, excuse me, trades up in that spot at eight to go get their quarterback. Do the Vikings, do they say to themselves, you know what, we need to get to seven or we need to get to five or wherever to kind of undercut this possibility, right? We'll just see. I do still think that Adofo-Mensah, I think he has the capacity to say no,
right?
Even if it would be unexpected, even if it would be even at this point, controversial. Like right. if the Vikings stay at 11, pick a defender, especially if they pick, say, a defender at 23 or a, I don't even know what, a lineman or a receiver at 23, that would be controversial. That would be controversial. Even if 23 gets spent on a passer, on a quarterback like Bo Nix or something like that, or Michael Penix, like, you know, it would be controversial for sure. Especially since there are no day two picks right now. There is no second round selection. There is no third round selection. And so the gap from number 23, the next pick, number 108. Right. So at the top of the fourth round. So 11, 23, 108. So there's going to be a little bit of patience required. If you're someone who likes to follow the draft through the full 3 days and not just first round, you might be a little bit antsy on Friday night, Friday, April 26th. It's going to be especially bad if 23 and 11 get packaged together to go to, say, number three. At that point, you're literally seeing, you know, assuming there's not a trade up from 108, you're literally seeing like 100, more than 100 players be chosen before the Vikings get their shot again to bring someone else in. So, you know, it's something to keep in mind. Friday could be tough. Friday could be tough.
Yeah. This is why they get paid the big bucks. But I do think,
yes. Yeah.
You mentioned like that ability to say no. And I think this is the hard thing is that my sense would be the Vikings know what the acquisition costs, or at least what the ask is at this point, you'd assume from these teams.
Yeah. For the most part. I mean, factors can change, right? Like things can change. And but for the most part, I would say, oh yeah, almost certainly.
But you mentioned there are other teams, and it does feel like it's, again, one of those years where you've got several guys who to varying levels are legit options in terms of that quarterback position. It's going to be interesting to watch. I, like you said, I think it would be pandemonium if the Vikings don't pick a quarterback in that first round.
Okay. Well, Josh Fry and I have a school debate going up for PTSD today, and he was arguing in favor of going all out for quarterback. I was arguing in favor of going all out for defense, using 11 and 23 on defense. So you can go to Purple PTSD and check out the school debate from Friday at noon and see if you think there's a worthwhile case, or at least one. I mean, maybe there is one. Maybe I just didn't capture it. But consider the case that's laid out there for double dipping on defense.
Okay. Well, I feel you're sticking your neck out a little bit. Not the popular.
That was definitely a harder position to argue, I think, than quarterback. But I gave it an effort.
Good. Well, I think you're the guy to advocate for defense. Kyle would just, if you could, you'd have 51 pass rushers.
Absolutely. If I was in charge of the roster, I don't even know. I don't even know if we'd have an offensive line. Like, we just have so many pass rushers, but no. Thankfully, I don't think there's a career ahead for me as an NFL executive, which is probably in everyone's best interest.
Well, that's good. Let's we can any last piece before we wrap up again. There'll be more draft coverage as we move forward. Potential guests and maybe we'll have to do our annual mock draft at some point and figure this out.
Yeah.
But yeah, any other kind of short news hits that you'd like to add on as we wrap up?
The only other thing I guess I'll add on is, if I'm not mistaken, it came out here recently. Adam Schefter, ESPN, kind of dropped the tidbit that it was actually Houston who initiated the trade talks with the Vikings for that pick for 23. So I believe it was actually Houston, according to Schefter, Houston who actually kind of got those conversations going. Doesn't really change anything in terms of the end result, just kind of a interesting little factoid that they're the ones who kind of began that conversation.
That is interesting, because I think, at least from my perspective, there's a little bit of an assumption that the team that's moving up is going to be the one that initiates it. So
again, especially with this thought about the Vikings and quarterbacks, they're the ones who are kind of, you know, doing all this behind the scenes work to give themselves the best shot. It was actually, according to Schefter, Houston.
Yeah. Right. And you've already seen how Houston's used that asset.
Precisely.
So interesting.
Circles back around to what we were talking about. Exactly.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, look at this. What a flow that we've had here today.
Pretty good. Pretty
just
good.
Like we drew it up. Well, we'll wrap up there. Appreciate everyone listening again. Exciting. We will have more news in the coming weeks, and it will be fascinating to see what happens on that draft night. Maybe we'll have an understanding of where the Vikings are before that, I think, in some ways, hopefully, do, but always fun, this anticipation game. So thanks everyone for listening. We'll be back next week. Take care, have a great week, and we'll be back soon. Bye.